This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, joining me on this episode, he did not get suspended. He will not be missing the next seven podcasts. He's still here. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Here we are. It is the month of March. We're 10 days in. This is usually the time of year where we're kind of talking about where this team stands in for the playoffs to start. But we're not there exactly yet. But big news coming out of the Caps this week. We got to talk about it. Big Willie, Tom Wilson, he has been suspended now for the fifth time in his career, this time for seven games. Let's just jump right into it. Let's talk about the hit. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not this was a good hit, a clean hit. It was a non-penalized hit in the game, but what's your take on this situation?
You know, I got a little flack from at least one person on Twitter for my take, as you say, regarding Wilson's hit. I think that he messed up. I think the hit wasn't... The hit itself, like in terms of checking the dude as part of the game, fine. No problem with that. It's, you know, it's not tennis. You're going to hit people. But he... Yes, the first point of contact also is not the head. It's his upper left chest or shoulder, I believe. But it doesn't matter. The fact is he was in a vulnerable position, which shouldn't necessarily make or break because players could theoretically be always in a vulnerable position, but he didn't need to hit him in the head. It very could have easily gone to the left a little bit and just gone against the boards to fight for the puck, or gone to the right a little bit, hit him right in the shoulder. But instead, Wilson put himself in a position for the NHL to have to make a decision regarding him being allowed to play. So it's 100% on him what happened, and with a number of his suspensions. And I don't understand why Wilson continues to do this. And this is the thing that frustrates me, because it's not just, oh, well, he doesn't get to play and he has to forfeit the money. The Capitals have now lost one of their top six, a winger from their top six. That's a problem. That doesn't help this team move forward. Thankfully, he's what, missed two games now?
Two games, yeah.
So they've won both of them, thankfully. But that doesn't really make a difference in the sense of, like, it was a dumb hit. It wasn't necessary, and he earned his suspension. And the fact that, I mean, I can get that the Capitals are coming out and they're making comments in terms of, like, you know, we think it's not right or it's not fair or whatever. But they're, for lack of a better term, wrong, because I think it is a fair suspension. And I get that they want to stand up for their teammate and whatever. Yeah, I didn't expect to look him out and be like, you know what? Tom is a dummy and he shouldn't have done that. Like, I don't see that happening. But I think what Wilson has shown us over his career so far is that he doesn't learn from his mistakes, because he constantly is making the same ones.
It's, oh God, this, it's such an odd, I don't even know what to say at this point, because I agree with you that he has not learned from his mistakes. He's been suspended for this exact same thing before, and he's hurting the team. You know, this season, the Capitals themselves are keeping themselves out of playoff talks or Stanley Cup championship talks because they are shooting themselves in the foot every single chance that they get. You know, whether it be, you know, hanging out, not wearing masks like they agreed to do when they started up the season, or if it's dumb penalties like this or whatever, you know, it's, they keep shooting themselves in the foot and hurting themselves. I think they've played with the team they thought they were going to play with for maybe 10 games. I mean, that's just an estimate, a guesstimate really on my part. But it's been maybe 10 games of, all right, yeah, everybody's healthy and this is the team we want to go with. The suspension for Tom Wilson, you know, he had a very late hit on a player that was playing in Pittsburgh, who I don't believe has returned yet to the lineup. So that didn't get called either. The NHL didn't suspend him for that. So I kind of feel like this one, they were kind of like, all right, he's getting reckless again. We need to do something to make sure that he stays in check.
It's not going to do it, though, because he continually makes dumb mistakes.
Well,
and dumb hits, and he gets suspended, and he comes back, and he behaves himself for a little while, and then he does it again. So, it's either a lack of caring or it's a lack of intelligence. Which should it be?
Well, here's the thing. It was, I guess, after he had been suspended for 20 games a couple years ago, they talked about how he needs to learn how to skate in a different way by keeping his stick on the ice. And this hit that he had, he's got to keep the stick on the ice. He can't have the stick up in the air when he's about to hit somebody. And that's what he did in Boston. Yes, Coach Dan, who has his hand up.
I have a question, sir. What is his stick being down when he's skating have to do with him flying into a dude's head?
I think because he's using his full force of his arms to, like, push the guy into the
Just
boards.
Don't hit him in the head! Just avoid the region above the neck and shoulders.
That too. That would be key.
Like, but that's the only thing.
It's a weird spot. Like, I don't expect Laviolette or any of the players to come out and be like, yeah, shouldn't have done that. Big dummy here. Because he's...
Can one of them do that? Because it'd be funny.
He's a part of the team.
To hear
someone
of them
that.
Say dummy. He a dummy.
He a dummy. Yeah, I don't see that happening. But think about it. Like, everyone's saying, oh, Tom Wilson should be out of the league. Tom Wilson, like, he's Liev Schreiber and Goon, you know? Like, he shouldn't be... He should be down in the ECHL playing something like that. If the Capitals were like, look, we're done with this. We don't want him in our system anymore. Tom Wilson would be snatched up quicker than, you know.
100%.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere in the NHL. If the Capitals were to be like, all right, you've cost us way too much and you're a detriment to the team, you're hurting the team, we want you out, you know, he's a Calgary Flame within 2 seconds. He's a Winnipeg Jet in five. You know, like, he's not leaving the league. Another team will pick him up. But should he have been suspended for this hit? Because it's something that he had been suspended for before, and they said, look, keep your stick on the ground. Don't lead with your arms. Don't lead with your shoulder. Don't lead with your heads when you're hitting someone. And he still did it. Then, yeah, he should have been suspended. We like Tom Wilson because of the way he plays. We like him because he's a big guy. He's willing to throw his body around. He's willing to fight. Like, but he also can be smart. He's not just a goon. That was not a smart hockey move that he had in Boston on Friday. It was dumb. He shouldn't have done what he did. And he's paying the price for it, and so is the Washington Capitals. You know, he's going to be missing 7 games. Luckily, like you said, they've won 2, but this is going to continue to happen. Now he has an even bigger target on his back in this shortened season, because, you know, after he came back from that 20-game suspension, where I think he only served 14, any minor thing that he did, he was getting a penalty for. You know, and he was, like, leading the team in penalty minutes because it was like, hey, you just stepped foot on the ice. That's roughing. Get in the box. Like, that's the type of thing it was with the refs. So, and plus, he's making the refs look stupid if they're not calling him on these plays and then he gets suspended. So they don't like him either. So, I mean, the way he's playing right now is not helping the team. He's not helping himself. He's not helping the league. None of this is good for Tom Wilson. So, I hope that he figures out that, you know, he can't be throwing his body around like that. He can't be hitting people in the head. He can't be targeting the upper body, really. He's got to play the body, and if you can see a guy's numbers, you can't skate at him full speed. It's not the way to play the game. So I think it deserved a suspension, unfortunately, but do I think it's going to sink in and change his game? No. I think he's still going to be the same type of player. But that's why we like Tom Wilson. But I don't know. This is a weird situation for the Capitals to be in. They got to keep up and take up for him, but at the same time, he's got to learn to play better.
His offensive capabilities are very good. And like you said, he would definitely get snatched up in like a minute.
Especially like right now, because this is, up until this point, this is the best season he's had.
Oh, yeah.
He's looked absolutely fantastic. He's looked like a different player out there on the ice. I mean, he was, you know, one of the top goal scorers there for a little bit. He's doing really well. He looks like a top line player. This honestly was his best season yet. And then he comes and derails it and makes himself sit.
Yeah. I mean, that was really well put. I think he can't continue to do this and expect to be able to be a contributor. I mean, I know it's only 7 games and it's a shorter season, so what it may end up actually being in terms of how that would compare for a regular 82-game season.
Well, that's what I want to ask you real quick, since you just brought that up. Do you think if this were a regular 82-game season, no COVID, he would have gotten more than 7, or do you think that they modified it because it is a shortened season?
Oh, good question. I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think you do something stupid, you need to get punished for the reality of what happened. Right? So he was a dummy. He did something he shouldn't have done, and he's in trouble for it. And that's the extent of it, because that's the reality of what happened, right? Like, if you go and hit someone, it's like, well, then we have less games, so we shouldn't punish him as much. No, you injured a player in a hit that was completely unnecessary, and now you deserve to be in trouble for it. And it hurts the Capitals in the long run because, I mean, it hasn't for the last 2 games because they play well without him and he gets a break. But the reality is that's not why you play the game. And if it is, if you play the game to hurt other people, that's a problem and you shouldn't be playing anymore.
That's very true. Again, I like Tom Wilson. I have his Stanley Cup championship jersey, his sweater. It's whose number I wear on my back. So I want him to be a part of this team. But he needs to play better. He needs to play smarter because he's hurting other people. He's also hurting this team by not being on the ice, and he's hurting his own game because he's got a target on his back. And if you're the guy who's going to continually if you're just a goon, you're only going to go so far, especially as fighting and being physical in this game starts to go away more and more, your game's going to fade as well. So he needs to be a better player. He needs to make better decisions. He needs to just play smarter. To be honest, he just needs to play smarter because he's good at what he does. But unfortunately, what he's doing is hurting people.
Yeah. What's our line from years ago? You don't get to play. Yeah, you don't get to play if you're going to be dumb. And yeah. I think that is that's the reality because he can't behave himself. He's clearly shown that. And it's a problem. And if you're the Capitals, I don't think it means that the Caps are going to go out and start to shop him. I think it would be an interesting conversation to see what you could get internally. But like, if some team came calling, being like, hey, I think, do you guys feel like you just kind of had enough of Tom Wilson? Like, if I'm the GM of the Capitals and someone comes calling about Tom Wilson, I'm saying, I want a top 6 winger. I want one of your top prospects and I want a high draft pick.
You want all three?
All three, or have a nice day. No, because he is if he could behave himself, because the thing about a lot of his is they're unnecessary. Like, they're not, oh, well, he was in the flow of the game and it happened and it was, you know, he was trying to stop something. Like, no, they're unnecessary hits. And all he does is it puts the Caps in a bad situation because, A, you got the bad press. Not the end of the world, but not great. But he's out. And they don't get a cap relief from it. It's not like he's injured and they can put him on the long-term injury reserve. His cap is still sitting there, so you can't replace him. You have to place him internally. And, you know, it affects the other guys potentially because now you're playing with guys like Ovechkin or Kuznetsov and Backstrom. You know, they don't have a Sprong came in and played well, but he's not to the same offensive talent that Wilson has. So now these guys are affected. So if I'm the GM of the Capitals, if I get a phone call and someone says, hey, I want to talk to you about Tom Wilson, I'm not hanging up. If they say, hey, I want to talk to you about Backstrom or Ovechkin, I'm going to say, great, who do you actually want to talk about? Because that's not happening. Or Carlson. But if someone calls and says, I want to talk to you about Tom Wilson, I'm not hanging up the phone.
Right.
But you're going to have to, it's going to have to be a deal worth making. You know, I want a lot back.
There are worse players on this team, and players that could potentially be traded away before Tom Wilson. You know, guys like Yevgeny Kuznetsov, who is not playing well, hasn't played well in a season or two. You know, he's probably got more people interested in him, and I'd be okay with him going away more before Tom Wilson. But Tom needs to. I mean, at this point in his career, is he capable of changing his game? I don't know, but he has to do it. He has to. He has to become a smarter player. He can't just be the guy that throws his body around. And up until this point, I mean, he did have the questionable hit, the late hit in Pittsburgh. He had this bad hit in Boston. Up until those two, you know, bad hits, I really thought he was improving his game and becoming a, you know, a true leader on this team. But then he does something like this, and it's like, you know, we've been over this before, dude. Don't do that.
I mean, Wilson's the kind of guy that you love to have on your team, and every other team hates him.
Right.
He's a less gross version of Brad Marchand. But not as bad. But he can't behave himself. And so it's clearly a problem where he is incapable of playing a full season without having these questionable hits that are, for the most part, unnecessary. And I don't understand why he hasn't gotten that yet. I mean, he's got 17 points in 21 games, 7 goals, 10 assists. That's a guy who is contributing.
Yeah.
You know, Kuznetsov's got 8 and 15. Not as great. Ponik's got 8 and 25. Not good. You know, I think it was after the bubble when they got knocked out, I made a comment on Twitter about trading Tom Wilson. And that didn't go over well. I wouldn't say if I'm the Capitals that I'm instigating the call, but like I said, I'm not hanging up either.
Right.
You know? Now, if you call and say, well, we'll give you a top prospect and a first-round pick. No. I want a top six winger. You know? Because if it's a guy who's on your second line, maybe you can fill in on our first line. You know, you're playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom, you're going to look pretty good. So, I want a top six winger. I want a high prospect, a high-level prospect, and I want a high draft pick. Because as good as he is offensively and has become, and as important as to this team as he might be, is he worth the headache that comes around every once in a while?
You got to be on the ice to make plays. And if you're suspended for 7 games, you're not on the ice doing that.
That's correct.
Well, I guess, Tom, we'll see you next week.
He'll come back
Saturday night.
Saturday against the Rangers at home. With, I don't think it'll happen yet, but there is some talk about fans being at Capital One.
Craig Lachlan, last night, he kind of let that slip in during the game.
I know that they're talking about it. The DC easing back some of the restrictions. I know Governor Hogan, and he came out with saying 50%, I think, at Oriole Park.
50% at Camden Yards, yeah. Which during a pre-pandemic game, if you got 50% of Camden Yards yeah, on a Tuesday.
You don't
got to
worry about selling out Camden Yards. Like, you'll have plenty. There's plenty of social distancing happening in Camden Yards before the pandemic.
Yeah. So.
And this is coming from an yeah. Orioles fan.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you those empty seats, we've seen them a lot before at Camden Yards. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll be a little bit cheaper this time because they're to fill up those seats. I don't know. But, yeah, so the 20th. It looks like Tom Wilson could come back on the 20th against the Rangers. So we'll see what happens. But let's talk a little bit about what we saw this past week. The Capitals. Let's talk a little bit about that Devils game that happened on Tuesday night. That seemed like a surefire win for this team, and then they let it slip and let it slip and let it slip. And, hey, look at that. We're going to overtime. I mean, if that's
Caps
not
hockey,
like
everybody,
I don't know what's going on right now that makes this team let that slip. It's why can't they play 60 minutes? I really don't understand the 60 minute thing.
I think what we need to do is get the NHL to actually just have 40 minute games,
20 minute games. That would be even better because they seem to be able to get a good 10 minutes at the beginning and 10 minutes at the end. And that middle section is
no,
just
we don't
garbage.
Need it. Well, last night was the final 20 that they were like, all right, we've won. It was like, no, we still have to play. No, it's over. No, you still have another period. There's 20 more minutes. Get back out on the ice. Fine. Like the
this is Young Guns, Bruce Boudreau type of play.
I'll say actually that about the Devils. In a positive way.
No, sure, they're a positive. This is a negative because the Capitals should know better by now, but it is just so. Yeah, it is just the they got one. What was me? Oh man, now we got to finish the game. There is no reason, zero reason why that game should have gone to overtime.
Correct.
Caps had that one. It was in the bag, and these guys took their foot off the gas. They hit that e-brake, and we're like, game's coming to a screech, coming to a halt. We're done playing now. And Jacob Vrana comes away with two goals, thankfully. One in overtime, thankfully. But he had been benched earlier that game.
He said, bench me? I think not.
So this team, I don't know, is it really the fact that they are playing in front of empty seats, that their family isn't around? I know Dmitry Orlov brought that up, why his game has been re-energized, but there's just this team doesn't want to play.
That's one way to put it. No, I it's tough to say.
This is uninspired hockey. I don't want to say it's Peter Laviolette being the coach that we all thought he would be, because we're only how many games into his tenure here.
I don't think that's
here.
Fair to necessarily put on Laviolette, because it's not the first time we've seen it with some of the guys on this roster. You know, right. I don't think it's just him. It's his job to make sure they're playing better and playing a full 60 minutes, or, you know, I'll take 50 at this point. But I don't think it's just on him, because this is not new with this team. And I'm sure this happens to other teams, but it seems like it's very consistent. And this is a young Devils team that's fast, that's talented, but they don't quite have it all together just yet. And when you ease up on it, it reminds me of the late 2000s, early 2010s Capitals, where they were just like, screw it, we're just going to try and run right past you and score as many goals as possible. I remember they had that game in Edmonton, where I don't remember exact score line, but they went down by, I don't know, two or three or something early in the game. And then they were just like, all right, screw it. And they went out and won like five or six and got five or six goals, I should say. That's what you see from the Devils. And to an extent. And I feel like the Caps, they're the old team. They're big guys. They're a bit slower. They don't have quite the same amount of speed except for Vrana. And they just let them back in the game because they took their foot off the gas and they just got blown out. Thankfully, they didn't get another one and win the game in regulation.
I think this is also going to come back and haunt these guys later on, in 2 months when the season's over, is that, you know, all of these games are divisional games and they're going to continually go to overtime. They are gifting these other teams freebie points.
Yeah, I made that point last night on Twitter, and I was like, stop giving divisional opponents points. The Devils are not. Look, where are they? I have the standings up. Where did it go? Devils are currently in seventh right now. They are. Oh God, I have to do math. Hang on. 15 points behind the Caps, and I don't remember. Top four make the playoffs, right? I think so. There are ways out. There are 11 points potentially out of the playoffs if I have that right. If not, I don't care. Anyways, but it's a problem if you keep gifting teams points, even if it's one, because that comeback can come back to bite you in the butt later on. But this isn't news. These guys know that they're professionals. And I always like how they come out and they're like, well, we need to learn how to play 60 minutes. Most of y'all been playing this league for a while now. How have you not figured it out?
Right.
I don't get it. I don't get it. But those jerseys they were in last night, pretty snazzy.
You like the retro reverse sweaters?
They need to. I didn't want to buy one because they're so expensive, but now I'm not buying from one of you jerks on eBay that have like $330. Like, screw you. But if I can get one for a reasonable price, even though my wife will yell at me, grabbing another jersey, they're nice, man. I really like them. And I really wish they keep those around versus the blue ones. I know you like the blue. You can keep them all. But I really think these are very nice.
Well, I mean, the entire NHL is going retro, and we're going to talk about that around the NHL in a little bit with who will be carrying the games coming up pretty soon. But maybe they'll keep them around for that, you know?
Nah, because I already said this just once in the season. Which now,
makes given me sad. Given the sales, given the jersey sales, though, they'll be like, you know what? Maybe we'll keep these around.
I do wonder if teams will be allowed to be like, you know,
these ain't half bad.
Maybe we'll hang on to these as our third jersey and wear them a handful of times during the season going. I mean, I know that maybe it'll be their fourth jersey that they'll wear a handful of times during the season because they feel like it. I don't know.
I think it was Barry Trotz's second to last season with us. He picked the third alternate white jerseys as the away jersey for the playoff run.
Well, that's because that was better than the white ones we have now.
They could potentially do that.
I'm down.
You know, Laviolette, you're like, you know what? Those reverse retro sweaters, that's just going to be our home jersey the entire playoff run if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one thing at a time, I guess. But though theirs are pretty snazzy. I'm gonna go look and see if I can find one. While you, what else do we have to talk about?
We gotta say congratulations to Nicky Backstrom.
Yeah,
700 assists to that guy. Congratulations to him. One of the best players in Caps history. Absolutely. Been a sidekick to Alexander Ovechkin. It's really hard playing your entire career next to a guy like Alex Ovechkin because you're always gonna play second fiddle. You know, you're always going to be a backup dancer.
Yeah, but
dancer.
I don't think he cares. Backup dancer. I don't think... That one caught me off guard. I don't think... That was a good one. I don't think he cares.
Yeah, me neither.
He's, like, I don't think he cares.
This is the perfect situation for him because he can be one of the best players ever, but still never go to an all-star game and hide under the radar.
That is such... You know what? It's a family show. I'm not going to say it, but that is some...
Wait, didn't he go to one with Holtby?
Bull stuff.
Did he never go?
I don't know. He should be going to a lot more than he has.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I kind of remember him going now and not wanting to be there. Just like every other player there does not want to be there.
I don't know. I feel like it would be fun. No? Just me? Anyways. You know, yeah, I mean, he's an amazing player. He's Hall of Fame talent. He's one of the best players in franchise history, and I think we're all lucky to be able to watch him play night in and night out. And you know, there's going to come a point where he's no longer going to be on this roster because...
I think it was 2016.
When he went to the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Was he like, I'd rather just stay home with my family?
Yeah. I remember at the All-Star game when Ovi got drunk, Jágr was like... Can I go home now? We lost. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. I'm old.
I want to go on vacation like everybody else.
You know, they do this thing in European football where they have not in England for some stupid reason, but everywhere else, I think everywhere else, they have like a winter break almost, where it's like a week or two that just no one plays. There's no games. You could probably have practice, but there's no games. That would be an interesting thing for the NHL to consider. Like a midseason, everybody gets a week off.
Well, they do a bye week, but not the whole week.
No, no, no. Everybody. Just a break. So everybody gets the same amount of just relaxation time. And then you get back at it. Now, it's a little different because in European football, you play one or two games a week, usually. Versus hockey, you're playing, you know, potentially
every other night.
In a week. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a little different. But I feel like you can start the season a week earlier, end it a week later in normal times and make that work.
All right, what else we have to talk about? Oh, I mean, I teased it a little bit here, but Dmitry Orlov said his family's in town from Russia, and that's why he's been playing better. Do you really think that the fact that his family's in town is why he's been a different player? I know Ovi's game, I mean, Ovi is still Ovi. He's still... is the captain and plays with a lot of passion, but he's been a little different this year. Could that be because his wife and kids are still in Russia right now? They're not in DC with him. How much do you think not having the family around for some of these players is really affecting their game?
I mean, I think it does. I think it's fair to say that it affects their game. I know I've never played at that high a level, as someone pointed out to me on Twitter. when I made a comment about Wilson, which I don't understand what that had to do with anything, but I never played that high of a level, but I played sports when I was growing up and I played as an adult, you know, rec leagues and such. And when you have someone there watching you, you play differently, whether you realize it or not. There is a bit more in your game. You have a little bit of, I apologize for what I'm about to say, but pep in your step, so that you're playing a bit harder because you want to, for lack of a better term, show off, right? So especially if it's your significant other or your kids. I used to play indoor soccer, and you know, on the rare occasions that my wife would come to a game, I'd be like, all right, play a little harder. I want to, you know, make myself look good for her, kind of thing. And so, yeah, I think that definitely helps. It helps because when you go home from a game, and this isn't the same thing for me because in being in a rec league, you let that kind of slide real easily. But when it's your career, your profession, when you go home and you're by yourself, yeah, you can turn on the Xbox or PlayStation or whatever, but you're going to think about the game and what you just played more so than if your family's there. And I've read interviews and things with players where they said, you know, it's much easier to go home when your family's there because you're no longer a hockey player. You're a dad. You're a husband. You're there and you're going to be there with them. And it really gives you an opportunity to turn your mind off from the game and focus on something else so that when you go back to the rink, you're fresher.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, we talked about how when they were in the bubble, how the Capitals never really adjusted to the bubble life. And, you know, that's why they played so poorly.
It was a party.
Yeah.
Or at least so, that's what it seemed to be, according to some articles.
But it seems like that's what might be going on long term right now with the Capitals, is that these guys are missing their families and they're not, you got to be as safe as you can be with COVID. So that's what's really affecting them. I mean, a lot of them can't see their loved ones right now, and that's really difficult. So that could be it as well. But hey, I mean, how many games are we through now? They've got 2 months left, 2.5 months left.
I don't even know. Everything's kind of late. They've played 25.
Okay. Of 52, so they're about halfway done already.
Yeah. When do they play next? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or Friday. Tomorrow. That'll be the midway point. When's the All-Star game? I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, is that it for what's going on in Caps world?
Ovechkin is actually, he's about to become sixth all time. I think he's about three away from Phil Esposito, two away from Phil Esposito to become sixth all time in NHL goals scored. So keep an eye out for that. And once again, the Caps need to keep these retro jerseys.
All right. Well, that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Tom Wilson, play smarter, not harder.
You can play harder, just play smarter.
Yeah. Well, you know, just do all that. Backy, congrats to you. Verana, keep it up. Keep up the good work. And as team as a whole, stop giving away freebie points, please. Thank you. Yes,
seriously.
All right, that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-1 in the past week with wins over Lehigh Valley and Binghamton. They're currently first in the North Division with 16 points, two up on second place, Lehigh Valley. They'll be back at it on Friday in Binghamton before coming back to the Giant Center for a Sunday afternoon game against, as I've mentioned like seven times now in three sentences somehow, Lehigh Valley. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-2 in the past week with back-to-back wins over Jacksonville. They're currently fifth in the Eastern Conference with 32 points, 12 back of first place Indy. They'll be back at it tonight, Wednesday, in Florida. Then they are again on the road in Florida on Friday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
You know, I was telling Coach Dan earlier today that I really tried to find information about what's going on over in the KHL with their playoff run, because we have two players that are in the playoff hunt. But I honestly could not find any information about how Alex Alexiev and our other player, whose name is slipping me at the moment.
Protas? I don't actually have to say his last name now that I think about it.
Yeah, but I was trying to find information about those two guys and how their teams are doing, but I don't know if the KHL just, you know, I don't know. It's very difficult. I don't understand.
He doesn't speak Russian, everybody.
Yeah, it's very difficult to, when you don't speak Russian, to understand what's going on over there. But apparently neither of those guys has made any sort of splash in the playoff run. So I don't know. Maybe we'll, you know, if they get kicked out, maybe they'll come stateside and they can play for the Capitals on the taxi squad or something. But we'll keep you up to date. But anyway, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff to talk about here. I'm so excited to talk about one topic. I bet you can't guess which one it's going to be about around the NHL. But Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, we're going to start with Brandon's favorite topic. Coach is getting fired. Let's start in That's not actually true. I just made that up. Let's start in Calgary, where the Flames fired head coach Jeff Ward after a 7-3 win over Ottawa. So I thought it was a bit weird timing, but based on what I read, it seems like that was something that was already in the works. They let him go. They've brought back head coach Daryl Sutter to be their new coach. Sutter has a career coaching record of 634 wins, 467 losses, and 101 overtime losses, I guess. And was the Flames head coach previously from 2002 to 2006. Let's go ahead over to Chicago, where defenseman Brent Seabrook retired after 15 seasons in the NHL. He actually hasn't played since November 2019. Brandon, that was before COVID.
Wow, remember those days?
Yeah.
Remember when you used to blow out candles at a birthday party?
Remember when you used to have birthday parties?
Oh, yeah. Remember those? Man, that was fun.
Good now times. Everyone has had a COVID birthday.
Remember movie theaters?
That'll come back.
Remember music?
That's still a thing. It's just concerts aren't.
Not live music.
That's true. Anyways, Seabrook is quoted as saying, "I told my body to screw off for 15 years. It finally turned around and said, I'm not going to do it anymore." So he, the former first round pick, retires having played 1,114 games, scoring 103 goals, 361 assists, and won 3 Stanley Cups.
Wow. That's quite a career. I mean, it's sad to call it quits whenever you have to, but man, that is not a bad career at all.
I think he retires at 35. So dude is set. He's probably going to end up working for the Blackhawks in some way. If he's in any way entertaining, I imagine they're going to try and get him on TV or radio. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said that the salary cap will remain flat for the foreseeable future, with it currently at, I have no idea because the article disappeared. I think it's like $81.5 million, but I can't remember. I think that's right. But anyways, we're going to actually move on to what Brandon was super excited to talk about. I'm actually going to go over the little bits of it, and then I'm going to let you take on the rest in terms of I know you're going to have a bit to put into this. But the Walt Disney Company, the owners of everything, ESPN, and the National Hockey League have reached a 7-year television streaming and media rights deal. That's a lot of years. That will take the new partnership from the beginning of the 2021-22 season through the 2027-2028 NHL season. Now, here are a couple of the highlights of the new deal. Oh, I need a second, everybody. All right, deep breath. Exclusive coverage of the Stanley Cup Finals will be on ABC in 4 of the 7 years of the agreement. For those of you who aren't aware, Disney owns ABC.
Yes.
They probably own your house. You just don't know it. Let's see, with the ability to, this is the 7 years being, 4 of the 7 years being on ABC, the Stanley Cup Finals, with the ability to simulcast, megacast. Brandon, what is megacast?
I think that's like when you stream as well as satellite.
Sure. That will be on ESPN Plus and additional ESPN networks. 25 exclusive national regular season games on ABC or ESPN. 75 national regular season games per season will be produced by ESPN that will stream exclusively on both ESPN Plus and Hulu. Half of the Stanley Cup playoffs on ABC and ESPN each season. coverage annually of the NHL's face-off, that's opening night games, the NHL All-Star Game, that's the silly thing in the middle of the season, and their skills challenge, which I actually think is more interesting than the All-Star Game.
Yeah,
plus other NHL special events each season.
So like I guess that's like the awards, the NHL awards, that kind of stuff.
And like their Charlie Brown special or something, I have no idea.
I would totally watch that.
That would be kind of cool. Who would play Charlie Brown?
Oh, man. Who would pay? I mean, he kind of looks like Bruce Boudreaux a little bit.
No, that's... Yeah, a little bit. That's fair.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, all right, moving on. Anyway, I don't know. There's probably a player someone out there is yelling at us about. Be like, of course, looks like that guy. I have no idea. Anyways, and the NHL's out-of-market streaming package, formerly known as NHL.TV, will be available for fans as part of the streaming service ESPN+. Brandon, take it away.
All right, so if you've noticed, a lot of the stuff in here, 75 national games, 25 exclusive national regular season games on ABC, half of the Stanley Cup playoffs on ABC and ESPN each season. My guess is that half of it's still going to be on NBC, on the USA Network and regular NBC broadcast, maybe Peacock for a little bit as well, because that's where the Olympics are hosted for the next, you know, 80 years, because NBC's really dug in for the Olympics for some reason. But this is
fun.
Yeah, why would NBC? Well, okay. I was just going to say, like, well, why wouldn't Fox want them or whatever? But for whatever reason, NBC really dug their heels in and they're like, all right, no, the Olympics every 4 years, that's ours.
We call dibs.
But it's very interesting to me that the NHL is going halfsies. I mean, this is huge that they're coming back to ESPN. When they left in, what was it, 2004, I think? It was Versus, and it was all NBC-owned. So, like, they were, like the Olympics, they were full on. Everything was NBC Comcast. Everything was NBC Universal. That was the one home. And to be honest, I kind of liked that. You know, you didn't have to guess what channel it was on. However, since content right now is king in the streaming wars, this makes absolute sense that you would split half and half of something goes to Disney, some half goes to NBC, Universal, or Fox, or wherever you're going to be landing, you know, because of streaming. Cable I have not cut the cord yet. I don't know what I'm waiting for, because there's no reason to pay $300 a month for cable anymore. All of these streaming services, yeah, that's how much I pay, because Comcast is the only option in Baltimore City, and they suck. But, you know, you're going to be going behind a paywall. I've been talking about this ever since they shut down NBC Sports. Is the NHL going to go behind a paywall? You know, we'll see what happens going forward. Does this mean that the local stations like NBC Sports Washington will no longer be able to air all of the games? You know, there are 82 games.
There's going to be an agreement.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about like the local stuff. Like there are some teams out there that don't get all 82 games aired. You know, back in the day, the Capitals did not. You were lucky if you got 60 games aired.
That's true. That's true.
So if they're splitting with ESPN and NBC, does that mean that the local rights are now gone and you're going to have to sign up for an ESPN Plus subscription? I know this says out of market streaming package, but will there be a streaming package so you can watch all of your local games? I think that's coming.
Home team sports.
I think that's coming.
HGS. Whether
whether it be ESPN Plus or whether it go to Peacock, I don't see how they're going to do the local stuff anymore. I really don't. And that sucks because I love our local team and I love the local broadcasts. I love all of that. And maybe they will not be going away, but the channel will, and it'll all be streaming or Monumental Network like we talked about. You know, maybe something will happen. Well, they'll pick up the local stuff and you can stream that on YouTube or Facebook or whatever. Cable's done. Broadcast television is done, and it's terrifying because that's what I do for a living. But streaming is what's happening now. These guys are forward thinking. They're very smart for this deal. They've not said how much this agreement is. I'm going to guess it's in the low billions of how much they're getting for 7 years. I'm going to guess $1 billion, maybe $2 billion for half of the friggin' season. Not even the full season. but half of it. And I think we're all going to be getting ESPN Plus subscriptions.
I already have.
They said they're going to be doing something new called ESPN Plus on Hulu. If you already are a Hulu subscriber, there is the bundle where you get Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu. Just started watching WandaVision over the weekend.
Oh, so good.
I'm only in the second episode. Really
what?
Weird.
How'd you start watching it over the weekend and you've only watched one episode? They're half an hour.
I got things. I got stuff to do. You know, I'm busy. I'm a busy man.
So good.
But it's, I like that it's only...
It's weird. Like you said, it's weird at first, but in the end, it all makes sense. So, anyways, yeah. No, I still think there's going to be a local broadcast of some way, shape, or form. I mean, Beninati, someone's got to pay Beninati and Lachlan and the other guys. I thought I read earlier today that there's still an agreement with the NBC in terms of local broadcasts, so that we're still likely going to have games on NBC. And what? NBC. There it is. Sports Washington. So that's what I anticipate happening. I'm not quite as doom and gloom as Brenton is. Yeah, I don't know. I think this will be cool. Plus, I have ESPN and Hulu already, so I'm not all that worried about it. Well, ESPN Plus, which, by the way, is a lot of fun if you like European football because it's got all kinds of games. You'd be flipping back and forth between the Bundesliga, Serie A, the Eredivisie, and the other ones that I don't know the name of. But, yeah. Anything else you want to add to this new... Here's the big thing, and I actually forgot to talk to you about this before the show. Will we see the return? I have to find the music now. Will we see the return of NHL Tonight?
Oh, we have to. I mean, there's no doubt. If you do this whole thing and don't have that in there, then you have failed as a streaming service.
So I did a bit for a video production class where we had to do like a mock interview where I pretended to be a defenseman for the... Like, I was like to interview, like I wasn't in gear or anything. But it was a thing where I was a defenseman for the Capitals. Well, formerly the Capitals and then Sabres. I don't remember exactly what the thing was. But I actually had to produce it as well. And so I had this show start with this music. Because it's so great.
I miss stuff like that. Like today's television... They don't have songs like that. There's nothing iconic anymore, really.
I need to make that my ringtone. Let me see if that's on the Apple App Store.
Back in the day,
iTunes Store.
Well, iTunes is gone. They deleted iTunes.
No, it's right here. It says iTunes Store right on my thing.
They're all separated now. Oh, you're talking about the an app. Okay. They're going on Macs. Like there is no iTunes anymore. It's Apple Music, Apple TV, Apple Podcasts. They're not all grouped together anymore.
Oh, I don't think they have it as a ringtone.
I used to be able to create my own ringtones.
But I have to download the song first. Okay, can someone out there tell me how to get that as a ringtone, please? That'd be great. Well, we know what I'm going to be doing the rest of the night. I'm trying to figure this out. Okay, so should we move on to the last bit of hockey news?
Yeah, just be prepared, people. You're going to be paying for Caps hockey in a little bit.
So. Right, it's set. You're already paying for it because you're paying for cable.
You're going to be paying less for Caps hockey, people.
Only if you live in Baltimore City. Anyways, for our last little bit of news, let's head over to the National Women's Hockey League Cup playoffs, where the completion of the Isabel Cup playoffs will take place on March 26th and the 27th at the Warrior Ice Arena in Brighton, Massachusetts. Four teams will be competing for the championship live on NBC Sports Network. The playoffs will be played with no fans in attendance.
That's good because like when they tried to do this whole thing a couple weeks ago, it didn't go well COVID-wise.
No, everything went to... Well, I can't say what everything went to because, again, this is a family show, but I think everybody knew where my head was going on that one. It went bad.
Doo-doo.
Yeah, it went to doo-doo. On March 26th, Toronto will take on Boston in the first semifinal game at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, followed by Minnesota going up against Connecticut. Now, the winners of those games will compete for the Isabel Cup at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on March 27th. All three games will be televised on NBC Sports Network and streamed on NBCSports.com and the NBC Sports app exclusively in the U.S., and streamed via Brandon's favorite thing, Twitch, in Canada and on other international markets. That's the news from the past week in hockey.
Now, with this thing going on with ESPN as well, what does that mean for Twitch? Because the UFC just started up a Twitch channel as well, who are also under that paywall for ESPN Plus, where people watch UFC fights on Twitch and comment live with people. So will they be starting up one of them for each team in the NHL? I know the Caps did one for gaming already on Twitch. So this is another thing. Twitch, I mean, I've been talking about this for a while. Twitch is another thing that's going to be really taking off soon. They just did AMC just did a replay where you watched a bunch of Walking Dead episodes with some random people that apparently are reporters or something on Twitch as well. So that's a big thing. Like us talking about games later on in the week, podcasting, it's like old now. And now Twitch is taking over.
What we do is pointless.
What we're doing.
But thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, Twitch doing it live apparently is like going to be the next new podcast wave.
Man, I got time now, to do it live.
Podcasts have gone like corporate, so now people are doing Twitch stuff live. It's interesting.
Until that goes corporate, then somehow you'll have to like minority report it and have it done in advance before it's even happened.
We'll know before Tom Wilson does that he's going to be suspended.
Someone just tell him, don't do what you're going to do. Don't be a dummy. But yeah, that's it, man. Let's get out of here. I don't know if you guys can hear my kids yelling at me in the background.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, who just injured himself.
No,
pointing.
I don't know what I did earlier. I was putting my kid in the car, and then like my shoulder was like, I don't like you anymore. My shoulder was like Brent Seabrook's whole body, apparently. Oh, I don't know what I did. My arm hurts.
Somebody's getting old.
Yeah, dude, don't even go there.
So well, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter, hurting myself apparently, at WTP Coach Dan. That's where I talk about all kinds of things related to the Washington Capitals and how they need to keep these jerseys. You can also find me on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, who just released John Brown today. I understand the reasons why, but it still hurts. I'll talk about Washington Football Team and see what they're going to be doing this offseason. Why are you making a face?
Is that the former Raven? That John Brown?
I don't know. Admittedly, I like the dude. I started following the Bills recently. It's a whole other thing as to why. But did he play? Hold on, I'm checking it. I got to check this out. Let's see. Did he play?
I'm pretty sure that's where he went after he left the Ravens.
I liked him, but I understand the reason. He's a bit older. Does not play as much? Oh, something on ESPN started making a really loud sound, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Okay, so yeah, he played for the Ravens for one season. Wow, that was so loud in my ears. I did not expect it.
He got along with Joe Flacco really well. And I thought the two of those guys, like, I thought that was going to be his next Anquan Boldin. Like, that was going to be his go-to wide receiver. And then Joe got hurt. Lamar came in, and Lamar doesn't really utilize the wide receivers that much. So I kind of knew that John
Brown was...
Is that a
problem for a quarterback?
Yeah, well, he likes the tight ends. He likes to run. So he doesn't really use the wide receivers that much. So the writing was kind of on the wall that John Brown was not going to be a Raven for very long.
Well...
But I liked him a lot. I thought he was a very good wide receiver.
Yeah, freeing up some cap space. He has some injury issues, but it'll be sad to see, or it is sad to see him go. But yeah, anyways, that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed tonight's program, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you will find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals. But that's, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were just talking about the Baltimore Ravens. Is there by chance a podcast people should check out if they are a fan of that certain team?
Yeah, if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you can check out The Call. That's my Baltimore Ravens podcast. We'll come back eventually when something happens. They did not use the franchise tag, so there's nothing for us to talk about there. Free agency will start up soon, and then the draft is next month, so I'm sure we'll be coming back very soon. So we got plenty of stuff to talk about for the Ravens. Now, this show we do for free, and you listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's talk about the games until we talk again. On March 11th, Thursday, the Capitals will be in Philadelphia in front of fans up against the Flyers. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on ESPN Plus and NBC Sports Washington. I guess I should get used to saying ESPN Plus for a little bit for the next season or so. And then on Saturday the 13th, the Capitals stay in Philadelphia. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on ESPN Plus and NBC Sports Washington. Then on Monday the 15th, the Capitals travel to Buffalo. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington Plus. And then back-to-back games, they're staying in New York. No, they're not. They're coming back to D.C. They're up against another New York team. Up against the New York Islanders. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. All right, Coach Dan, Thursday, Saturday, two games in Philadelphia. Are they coming back home for that Friday day off, or are they staying in Philadelphia for 3 days?
You know, I think you stay in Philly.
Really? You don't see yourself traveling back and forth?
No, because, okay, so you're going to come back on Thursday late, have a day off, and then go back up? Or just, you know, stick around and hang out. I don't know. I think in normal times you plan sort of like a team bonding thing on the 12th.
Ah, that's true. Yeah, you know, that would be a good point.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I feel like I would.
I think maybe you stay on the road because then you're going to Buffalo.
I don't know. I think you get on the, you finish that game in Philadelphia, you grab yourself a cheesesteak, and then you go back home. I mean, it's only like an hour and a half drive.
No, man, that's for you. They all live in Northern Virginia.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That's like a 2.5 hour drive. Maybe a little 2.5, 2:15, something like that. It's about 2 hours from where I'm at.
Maybe I'm staying in Philly for a couple days.
Plus, are you eating a cheesesteak at like 10 o'clock at night?
These guys, they need the carbo load after that. You know how many calories they burned at 7 o'clock? You know, they need a cheesesteak when they're done.
I don't want a cheesesteak for dinner.
Go to, what is it, Pat's and Gino's.
I'm not driving for 2 hours just to get a cheesesteak right now.
I don't know. You got two chances to go see the Caps play in this week. I think you should go do it. Live and in person. All right, well, that's it for the show this week. So Philly, Buffalo, New York. So none of those games will have Tom Wilson, and hopefully they can come away with a couple wins here. Caps already beat the Flyers on the home opener with fans this past Sunday, so hopefully they can keep that streak going as well. All right, well, that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.